Cliff College is an evangelical learning community rooted in God's Word and Spirit for the purpose of equipping God's people for practical ministry and cutting-edge missional engagement.
For more than 100 years, we have trained people for mission and evangelism and have seen our students go on to do extraordinary work for the kingdom of God. In this podcast, we'll be hearing some of their stories and finding out what insights they have to share about their ministries and the communities they serve.
Welcome to Ministry Roadmaps, a podcast from Cliff College. Welcome to Ministry Roadmaps, a podcast of Cliff College. Welcome to a conversation. We're really enjoying these conversations as we get to know previous students and find out what God's doing in their lives and ministries. Around the table with me, I have...
Ali McKenzie. I'm the Student Welfare Manager and faculty member here at Cliff College.
And remind us how long you've been at Cliff, Ali?
About 6 or 7 years, Ash.
6 or 7, that's pre-me. You were here before me.
Maybe just a little bit, yeah.
What's your favourite thing about Cliff, Ali?
The students and the colleagues. Can't just put it down to one. I like the community feel.
The community feel. Also around the table we have...
My name is Cameron Ferns. I am a first-year student on the new BA Theology and Mission degree.
And you've literally been here about 4 months, haven't you, Cam? Just something like that?
Pretty much 4 months on the nose, yeah.
Yeah, because you started in September with the brand new degree. How does that feel, starting a new degree with us?
Oh, it feels fantastic, and I'm really enjoying the new degree. Feel a little bit like a guinea pig, but there's nothing wrong with that.
We're learning as we go a little bit, but what's been your favourite thing about the degree so far?
I'd say... Just in the classroom, being part of the hybrid environment and taking on board everything that's being given to us is fantastic. But then outside of the classroom, the community feel has been fantastic as well. It's been a real joy to be a part of.
It was a joy because I taught your class a few weeks ago, and there was 6 or 7 in the classroom and then 6 or 7 online from other places around the world. It felt a real kind of mix of people and ages and experiences, locations and geography. All bringing that theological reflection into the one space was really exciting.
Oh, it's fantastic. To hear the different points of views coming from around the world and hear how Christianity works in different countries and different cultures is very eye-opening, and it's been a pleasure to be a part of.
Great. Well, thank you for joining us around the table for the podcast. We also have our guest with us, Sue Pete. Say hello, Sue.
Hi, everybody.
Sue, you're in ministry. Where's your ministry location?
Yeah, I'm a deacon in the Gloucestershire circuit. And I specifically work in the centre of Gloucester, in the city centre, as a retail chaplain and workplace chaplain. And I'm soon to be a university chaplain as part of the University of Gloucester team, the team ministry there in central Gloucester.
That's a lot of chaplains. You kind of said chaplaincy and then chaplaincy and chaplaincy and chaplaincy.
Yeah.
I guess we're looking forward to hearing a lot of that story as we journey on today.
What you forgot is who you are, Ash.
Oh, Ali, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm Reverend Ashley Cooper, the principal of Cliff College. I've been here just for about 6 years as well. But I love this place. And as we'll hear from Sue's story in a minute or two, that sense of transformation of students and that vocation and calling and then seeing students step into God's plan and purpose for them is just an incredible place to work and to be. Yeah. And that's what Cliff College brings.
Let's go to an ad.
Cliff College offers courses to equip the whole church for mission and ministry in the 21st century. And with our online learning platform, you can upskill from your own home or from anywhere in the world. This April, we're offering 2 new online courses, Christian Spirituality and Issues Facing the Church Today. Gain valuable insights that will help you in your ministry while learning alongside others from around the country and across the world. Learn more at cliffcollege.ac.uk/equip.
Okay, we've done this with every guest we've had on the podcast at 12 quick fire questions about your time at Cliff College. Okay, so okay. I don't want you to think too much. I want you to give me, as long as it's clean, the first thing that comes into your head, all right? All right, so here we go. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
12, quick fire. What years were you at Cliff?
1997 to 1999.
Start again.
1993 to 1995.
Okay, that's better. Good. Right, should we go quick fire now?
Yeah, go.
Ready?
Go.
Let's go. Favorite thing you studied at Cliff?
Mission.
Okay. What was your room number?
Oh, first year I was 39, middle corridor.
Okay. Who was the principal?
Bill Doc Davis in my first year, and then Howard Mellor in my second year.
And who was your favourite lecturer?
It's got to be Howard.
I won't ask who was your least, don't worry. Where did you go on mission?
Oh, gosh, loads of places. You don't want them all,
Give
do you?
Give me some.
I went to Bridlington. We did the cycle mission all round Lincolnshire. That was great fun. I went to Cornwall quite a few times. I went to Spennymoor.
How often did you walk up the edge?
Oh, not very much.
Agreed, neither have I. How many nights a week did you go to the bridge?
Oh, usually on a Tuesday after class meeting. So, once a week.
Okay, I'll let you off. I don't believe you, but never mind. Who was your favourite student at the time, who you were a student with?
Oh, lots of favourite students. I was good friends with Ginny Carlin, who's now a BFBS radio presenter, and the very famous Catherine Stevens.
Okay, final question. Are you ready for this? Did you ever break any rules?
Yes.
But did they have Matron when you were around?
We had Matron, yeah, and she was a wonderful person. Yeah.
Was she?
She was. Phyllis, yeah.
Phyllis
the Matron. I think we should bring back Phyllis the Matron.
I think she's died, sorry to say. I think she's died.
Well, we won't bring back that Phyllis, but we could have a different Phyllis.
Yeah.
We could have a new Phyllis. Ali, what do you reckon?
I think I wouldn't be needed. I'd be surplus to requirement. Let's try it. So that is a little snapshot of some of your time at Cliff as a student, Sue, but I believe you've been engaged and involved with Cliff in different ways over the years. Do you want to tell us a bit about your story as student and staff?
Yeah, definitely. I was in a Pentecostal church for many years, and I felt that God was calling me to train in some kind of ministry, to do something different to what I was doing, which at the time was working in a leisure centre. I was a lifeguard and swimming teacher, and I just felt that God was calling me to something else. And I didn't really, I'd been to Cliff as a young child to the anniversary day and so on, but I didn't know a lot about what they did and all that sort of thing. And it was a festival or a celebration weekend that one of the young people in my church, the Pentecostal church, she was going with her friend from school, who was from a Methodist church. They were going to the anniversary weekend, and Kelly, the young person in my church who I was a youth leader for, she needed a lift to get to Cliff. She was meeting her friend and their family at Cliff, and she needed a lift to get there. And I said, well, I'll take you. It was the Friday night or something like that. I said, I'll take you after work. So I took Kel and I stayed for one of the meetings, the first meeting that was happening in Cliff Hall on the Friday evening. And the person, I couldn't tell you who was preaching, but they were saying about how God might be calling people to come as a student to Cliff College. Mm. And there was something that took place in my life at that time. God spoke into my heart in that night and said, this is what I want for you, Sue. This is where I'm calling you. And so I went home and I was thinking about it a lot. And I went back over the course of the weekend. And by the end of the weekend, I'd got an application form. And this was in the May. And I applied to go to Cliff. Yeah. I went to Cliff in September 93, and it was just an amazing time. I didn't know whether I was going for 1 year or 2 years. I didn't know what the end was going to be at the end of it. You know, I didn't know what anything other than I was in the right place at the right time. And Cliff, it felt like God kind of took me apart a little bit in lots of ways, and then built me back together again through that process of being a student at Cliff. And God gave me a renewed sense of confidence and understanding about what it meant to be a Christian. My theology was broadened from coming from a Pentecostal background that was actually quite male oriented. It was all about the man as the preacher, the man as the church leader, and women just made the tea and did the Sunday school and that kind of thing. And so I learnt a lot in that first year at Cliff about what leadership might look like as a woman, what ministry might look like as a woman, actually. And God changed a lot of my thinking in a really good way. And then I went on to be a full-time youth pastor down in Dorset.
Yeah, wow. So it really sort of built you up and broadened your understanding of how God was going to use you.
Definitely.
And I believe you find your way back to Cliff later on.
Yeah. I'll shorten it a little bit because it, like anything like this, there's a lot more to it. But I went away from Cliff and then I worked for a church, a big church, and it just felt like a big job, to be honest. And I thought, this is a bit beyond me, you know, and I didn't say, looking back, I should have said to somebody, my line manager or somebody, hey, I'm struggling. And I didn't. And that's the learning part of it, really, for me, is I was afraid to sort of say, okay, I'm finding this hard. But so, cut a long story short, I did 2 years there, and then I felt like a failure. I felt like an absolute failure. I ended the job, and I said, you know, I can't do this anymore. I was at a very, very low point in my life. At I would have been 27 at that point. And I just went back to what I knew I could do. And it was a bit like in John's gospel where Peter felt like he'd really, really messed it up and he'd let Jesus down. And he just said to the other disciples, he said, I'm going out to fish. And they said, yeah, we're coming too. And I felt a bit like that. And I just sort of said to myself and to God, I'm going out to do what I know I can do. And that was my kind of fishing, if you like. I went back to leisure centres and to swimming and life-saving and that kind of work. And I did another 2 years in my local leisure centre, working as a swimming teacher and a lifeguard. And I kind of built my confidence back up again from a very low place. And through that time, God sort of rebuilt me. And he said, I've still got something for you to do, Sue. And I got the job as evangelist, started that in September 1999. And I came back to Cliff and it just felt that God was again building me back up again.
Wow, that's amazing. And isn't it true that God brings good things out of hard places, you know? So just bringing you back here to invest in you again and to you know, something about Cliff seeing potential, isn't there? And I think, I mean, Cam, that's possibly going to be one of the things you notice about Cliff, that we see who you are sometimes before you see who you are, what you can do.
I would say potentially. I would definitely agree with that. And I think this is a place where that growth can be seen and can be overseen by lots of people who are going to point you in the right direction.
Quite the journey, Sue.
Yeah, it is. I picked up the word vocation kind of comes through your story quite a lot, kind of listening to where God is calling you and leading you. And I did, I wrote down the word failure. That's a strong word to use, isn't it? How you see yourself at that point. And when often we see ourselves as failures, God sees something very, very different and uses those experiences that have been difficult and hard to shape who we then become. Because, of course, you're at Cliff for a significant length of time as an evangelist. Our paths cross during that time. And then you kind of go on into ministry in a very different field. Because, of course, we've worked together numerous times over the years in ministry. Just tell us a little bit, Sue, about where God took you post-Cliff and what your ministry looks like or has journeyed to.
Yeah, I think during my time as an evangelist, I think I learned such a lot about ministry, about working with people, about working with students, working with staff. And And I think it was 10 years really of preparing me for ordained ministry. And I absolutely loved the job that I did at Cliff, led so many different missions, came to your church, Ash, in Helsby. Great time there. And now, what I'm doing now, I don't think I could have done what I'm doing now had I not have worked at Cliff, because I just learned so much over those 10 years and grew in my own faith and ministry development sort of thing. So now what I'm doing, I'm in the Gloucestershire circuit, which is a huge circuit of around 40 churches. And I'm part of my work is I'm mission portfolio holder for the whole circuit. So I work with those churches and kind of journey alongside them, really, in developing a vision for where they feel God is leading them as churches. I look at their mission plan and strategy work with them and all that sort of thing. So that's part of what I do, is mission portfolio holder, which is great. I absolutely love it. And the other part of what I do is I'm a retail chaplain in Gloucester City Centre, which is quite a new post, actually. It's a new area of work for me. So I'm a chaplain to the shops and the hairdressers and the coffee shops and cafes and all those sort of places in Gloucester City Centre. And I go in and I take them sweets and chocolates and stuff like that. And if any of the staff have got problems that they want to talk about, I'm there. And there's that sense of in chaplaincy about you showing up, you turn up, you're there, and they know that you're going to come back. It's that sense of presence ministry is so important in chaplaincy. And I'm sort of...
Sue, let me just take you back a sec.
Sorry, yeah.
Sue, let me take you back. No, you're right, because I want to come back to that in a second. I think Ali's going to ask you something about chaplaincy in a minute, but I just want to take you back, because you, at the beginning of this, you introduced yourself as a deacon.
Yeah.
And I just want to unpick that a little bit, because some of our listeners may not know what a deacon does, yeah, or have a perception of a deacon that may not be a kind of full picture. So God calls you into ordained ministry,
yeah,
as a deacon in the Methodist Church.
Yeah.
Just unpack all of that for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think God speaks to us all in different ways, doesn't he? And it was only when I met a deacon on one of my pre-mission visits down in Bristol. And I just met her when I was preparing to put together a mission with a church down in Bristol. And I was chatting with this lady at the meeting and I said, "What is it you do?" And she said, "I'm a deacon, a Methodist deacon." And I said, "Tell me about that. What do you do?" And as she spoke, again, something inside me just kind of lit up. It was like a spark. And I just thought, wow, this is what God is calling me to. And I knew that that was the right path for me, was diaconal ministry. And so this particular deacon, she did lots of work in her community. And, you know, she help people wherever she could. She brought about change where there was, struggles for families. And she was just really, really good at doing things, at practical stuff, at bringing about change in her community. And so that was what I was drawn to. And so I just started exploring what diaconal ministry was about. And then I candidated as a deacon. And so, it's deacons are more involved outside of the church, really, than what they're doing inside the church.
Mm. Thanks, Sue. That's really helpful.
So that kind of takes us back to chaplaincy in a way, doesn't it? So a deacon has this freedom from, so they can be free for, you know, and here you are on the edges, in the town centre, soon to be in the university too. Tell us a bit about how you experienced that.
Well, I wasn't thinking I was going to be doing chaplaincy when I first came to Gloucestershire. I worked I live in Stonehouse, which is a wonderful little town near Stroud. And so I did 5 years at the church here in Stonehouse. It's a close-knit community. And so that was where I felt best placed, really. And so I was quite happy doing that. And then an opportunity came up in the city centre of Gloucester, which is also part of the circuit. And the superintendent said to me, we've got this vision for retail chaplaincy in the city centre. And he said, we just need somebody to do it. And there's that whole thing about going as a deacon, going to those who need you the most. So there's lots of need. There's need wherever we are. There's people who need a worker here in Stonehouse. There's need here. But we felt as a circuit that there was a particular need that wasn't being met in Gloucester city centre. And while I've been in Stonehouse, I've kind of created a team here at Stonehouse. And so I wasn't just abandoning them at Stonehouse. They've got a really lovely team who I've been sort of working with and kind of training, I guess, in a way, to carry on the work that I've been doing in Stonehouse. So the work's carried on, and they're hoping to get a lay worker as well. And we're really hoping that that happens for Stonehouse. So I kind of made a transitional move into Gloucester to do the chaplaincy. And I go in the shops and they talk to me about their problems. And it's wonderful. It just opens up so many conversations about all sorts of things. I could tell you loads of stories about real people who wouldn't normally go to church, but they've had a conversation with me and it's been a God encounter.
Yeah, and I can see that spark you talked about when you first encountered the idea of being a deacon. Mm. I can see that spark in your face as you talk about your role.
I was just reflecting, Ali, of I was preaching in the college chapel on Moses and the burning bush and the sense of holy ground. Mm. And it's that encounter with God that is holy ground.
Yeah.
And in the middle of Tesco's or wherever you find yourself, Sue, you're finding yourself on holy ground. Mm. Because there's God encounters and God moments. To see Tesco as holy ground. I don't often see Tesco as holy ground.
Well, there's that amazing poem by Elizabeth Barrett Browning, "Every bush is burning, if only we have eyes to see. Take off your feet, lest you lose the blackberries." Something like that.
Talking of poetry.
Yes.
So we had a bit of a conversation earlier on, because you one of the things you've done recently, I think it was to do with a birthday or something.
Yeah.
But I guess it's also opportunities to create holy ground.
You were
on Scott Mills.
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. I've been on a few TV quizzes, you know. That's the thing.
I've seen you on TV.
Yeah, I've been on. I'm very, very competitive. So I've done a few TV quizzes.
Have you won, hold on, before you do Scott Mills, have you won any money on any of these quizzes yet?
No, not won a thing. Not won a thing. I'm not very good at them. But that's why I went on the birthday game. I wanted to do the birthday game because there's no questions to ask, really. You know, it's just which song do you like out of these three songs? And it's dead easy.
Okay. So you can't lose, basically.
You can't lose. Yeah, exactly. So and I always like to do these kind of anything on television or radio, whatever. And I like to be a positive influence for the Christian faith. And so that's always where I come at it from. You know, we need more Christians on TV and on the radio, on anything, that go on, not necessarily to preach the gospel, but just to be a really good influence for the Christian faith. I think it's just a really good thing to do. And so, plus, it was my birthday, and I love Scott Mills. I think he does a really good show in the afternoons. I have it on when I'm driving around and so on. Anyway, so I sent him a little WhatsApp message saying it's my birthday on the 7th of December. I'd like to be on the birthday game. And so the week before, you get a phone call saying, yeah, that's great. You sound brilliant. Let's have you on. And so they do it as a pre-record. So I had to record it the day before my birthday. And it was great fun. But I mentioned in the, he has a little bit of chat with you. What do you do? And all that sort of thing. And I'd said, I'm a retail chaplain. And it's just amazing how God works. Because you could say coincidentally, I don't think it was any coincidence, but Scott Mills was doing a piece the following week, which was the week before Christmas, or 10 days before Christmas or something like that, where he was doing like shout outs to shop workers, and he wanted people to sort of engage with the conversation and say, big shout out to so-and-so who's working in really hard in the shops and whatever. And so the whole thing about retail chaplaincy struck a chord with Scott Mills when I did the birthday game. And he, at the end of the interview, he said, Sue, he says, wait there, on the phone kind of thing. He said, I'm doing something about retail shop workers and stuff. He said, would you write a poem, a funny poem, like a humorous poem that we can include in the programme? And, oh, my goodness, I'm no good at poetry, but I just said, it's Scott Mills. So I went, yeah, OK, I'll do that. So I wrote a little poem, and then I had to send it in, and I had a message back saying, this is exactly what we wanted. Thank you so much. But while that was on, one of the presenters from Radio Gloucestershire was driving down the M5, heard the Radio 2 with Scott Mills, heard me on the radio, and she was like, this person's working in Gloucester. I need her on my radio station as well. So she tracked me down, and then I went on to Radio Gloucestershire the following week and talked again about what I'm doing in the city centre of Gloucester. Again, it's another like positive message for the gospel on the radio, and so that was another opportunity that it opened up.
So you've moved from Cliff College to Scott Mills radio show, kind of. That's where our student's
our
journey.
Typical trajectory for a Cliff College student.
How does that make you feel, Cam?
Well, we're early days yet, but I think that's now the blueprint.
Is that
surely
the pinnacle of where you need to get to, Scott Mills?
Glass ceiling.
Or the Zoe Ball
glass
breakfast
ceiling.
Show.
We're just going to have to. I don't know who does Radio 1's breakfast show at the moment, but there is now.
There, the pinnacle.
That's the aim.
So that's been a really enlightening conversation around call and vocation and failure and confidence and all of that, to find you now in a place where you're just out communicating faith just by being in those contexts is really encouraging. And another thing for our students particularly now, to think, oh, where's God calling me? That's it's outside the normal framework for a lot of our students to think about being a retail chaplain. God calls us in all kinds of places. Let's end this bit of conversation with your poem, Sue.
Imagine it's just before Christmas and you're working in a shop, right? 'Twas the week before Christmas, and all through the town, all of the shop workers were feeling quite down. Worn out and tired, in a bad mood. Customers everywhere who can be so rude. It's really quite tricky to stop yourself huffing when a fight's broken out for the last box of stuffing. So try to keep smiling. You can soon join the party. Lay off the sprouts, though, they'll make you too farty. To shop workers everywhere, we send you our best. Without all of you, we'd be in a mess. So I'm wishing you joy and much festive cheer. God bless, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year.
Sue, we're asking people to share their three hacks, if you like, for their ministry journeys. And I'm just wondering, what would your top tips be for our listeners?
Brilliant. I've got four. I couldn't narrow it down to three, but they're very short.
Go for it.
They're very short.
Go for it.
The first one, it goes back to how I felt a failure quite often. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. God doesn't call the equipped. In other words, God doesn't call you when you're ready. He makes you ready after he calls you to something. And it's a bit of a cliche, but I've always found that that is so true. God makes you ready after he calls you. Secondly, I want to say that ministry can be a great joy. And so often, I think we think that ministry is like really hard work, it's uphill struggle, there's lots of stress and all that, and there is, but I've also found such a lot of joy and fun and life about being in ministry. So that's the second thing. Ministry can be a lot of fun and great joy. Thirdly, this one's a bit more tricky. I've found that one of the biggest challenges about ministry is the moving appointments and moving home. I found that to be much harder than I ever thought it would be. Having moved all over the country for short periods of time when I worked at Cliff, you know, I'd sometimes never bothered unpacking the suitcase because I knew I was off again somewhere else. And you know, that itinerancy thing, I never thought it would be this hard. So that is a tough one for me. It's harder than you think. And the final thing I want to say is I come back to this time and time again, the covenant prayer that we pray every year in the Methodist Church. Mm-hmm. Tricky words to say, but I come back to that. It's not about me. It's not about how I... Well, it kind of is sometimes about how I'm feeling, but... ultimately, it's about God and, you know, me saying to the Lord, Lord, here I am, use me, not my will, but your will be done. And sometimes in ministry, you know, you can feel really hacked off that, you know, nobody understands you or, you know, things aren't going your way or you're in an appointment that you don't like, you're struggling with it and so on. I come back to that covenant prayer time and time again, and it just grounds me and it kind of resets my mind and my heart. This is what it's about. It's about God. It's not about me feeling happy and you know, wonderful. It's about God. And yeah, that's so important for me.
Oh, thank you, Sue. Now, Ash happens to know that prayer off by heart. Would you just share it for us, Ash?
Yeah, of course, Ali. Thank you for just putting me on the spot there. But it is those words, isn't it, that says, I'm no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or brought low for you, exalted for you or laid aside for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. That sense of, we often say at the beginning of a new year, but that, God, I'm giving you everything. I surrender. I surrender it all. Sue, thank you for that conversation. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Sue.
Welcome back. Just as we have an opportunity to reflect a little bit on that conversation, and boy, it was all over. It covered so much ground, didn't it? And both in terms of Cliff, I'm glad that Sue could remember where she slept at Cliff and which room she was in, and when she was shuddering in the right room and wasn't, and all those things. But hey, let's leave that there. I'm not going to tell her off now. Can I discipline her now, do you think?
No.
For 30 years ago mistakes as the current principal? No, I can't do that.
It's a hard no, actually.
It's a hard no. Let's not go there then. Cam, I just wonder, as a current student listening to all of that, where your brain has gone, I think.
Yes, yeah, thank you, Ash. And thank you, Sue, for sharing. That was an absolute pleasure to listen to. I guess where my head's gone on that is just the absolute variety of the things that you've done in your life and the different things that you've done and the different stories you've got is fantastic. And as a current student listening to a former student who has gone on to do so many different things, it really speaks to that thought that Cliff can be such a springboard to do anything, that we come here to get equipped and to move forward into whatever we do in our lives.
Mm. I love that idea that ministry is joyful. You know, ministry doesn't have to be hard work. Ministry is happening all around us. You know, as Sue talked about the different parts of her journey and the different places she has been, it's really clear to me that you are just partnering with what God is already doing in those places, you know. And I love that doctrine of prevenient grace, that God's already doing it. We just come alongside and lend our voice to it. And, you know, whether you're on Scott Mills or in Tesco or in your local chapel, you know, you are bringing that joy. And, you know, I'm almost sorry that people haven't been able to see your face light up and your big smile as they've been listening to you, as we have.
Yeah.
And, you know, just working against that presumption that, oh, it must be hard work. Because no, it's not. God calls us to what makes us feel fully alive. And, you know, we hear that spark of the Spirit in you when you share that, I think.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree, Ali. That's really encouraging. And as you were talking, so I was thinking about, because ministry right now for us can feel hard and tough at times, and I maybe a moment of toughness for some of our listeners. Mm. But what I did in that moment, as Sue was talking about, that was to journey to some moments of joy in ministry, because there are lots. I can forget the moments of joy, because the moments of pain are significant, but the moments of joy, and as I started to go back in my mind to think about the moments of joy, I thought all of those moments were around people. Mm-hmm. They're people related. They're those moments when you see a person, the light bulb moment of faith goes on in their life and they have an encounter with Jesus that's just transformational. To sit back and watch that is just so joyful. Yeah. And I just have so many moments of joy that are about people, which kind of picks up, Sue, on a lot of your comments around one of the reasons you came back to Cliff, because it was a safe place, because actually what you're about is mission and evangelism and wanting to tell people about Jesus and wanting faith to come alive in people. And actually, 30 years on, that's what we're still about here at Cliff. We're a centre that's about equipping people for mission and evangelism. Ultimately, we hope and pray that any student, at whatever level, whether they come for a weekend, a week, an undergraduate degree, a seven-year PhD, or whatever it is, when they finish their time, they're more equipped to tell people about this God who loves them, who welcomes them, who just is in love with them than when they started with us. And to see you, Sue, talk, and again, Ali, you're right, that smile when you start to talk about mission, when you start to talk about being outside the walls of the church in some amazing context where you've had the opportunity to just create holy ground.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
Phenomenal. And it chimes with some of our other guests who have shared this sense that God uses it all. You know, whether you were back in your swimsuit at the pool or, you know.
Don't go there.
Whatever.
You know where my mind's going, don't you?
Ashley, focus.
Can I say Baywatch at that point?
Well, you can, but we're not going to, you know, indulge you. Wherever you are, It's all mission, you know, it's all ministry, and that word presence that's so important to you in the way you are with people. I think that's something that, you know, would be good for us all to dwell on, actually, that where we are, so too is Christ.
We create that holy ground where we find ourselves. Sue, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. So after that reflection, we're just going to invite our listeners to let us know where your holy ground is. Shortly, there'll be some contact details about how to reach out to us, but we'd love to share on the podcast where you're enabling those holy encounters to happen, where you're enabling people to meet with our living God in that very real way of presence and being with and alongside. So let us know where your holy ground is today.
Yeah, we'd love to hear that. We'd love to share some of that as well in the conversation. So everyone around the table, thank you so much for being with us. Sue, again, thank you just for opening your heart and sharing your story and your journey. That's been really encouraging to everyone. Cam, the student around the table in this conversation, thank you again, not just for listening, but sharing and seeing how God is at work then and now in the life of Cliff College. Ali, my colleague, again, thank you so much for sharing and hosting this with me. Again, we'd love to continue to hear from you, and we look forward to seeing you at the next Ministry Roadmaps, a Cliff College podcast.
Thank you for listening to Ministry Roadmaps, a podcast from Cliff College. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode. Get in touch by email at roadmaps@cliffcollege.ac.uk or find us at Cliff College on X.